you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and Amy's TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
And now it's time for another special feature.
It's Monday afternoon, and the VR gaming and PC gaming show have just concluded. I'm sitting down to eat a late lunch before I have to rush back to continue and watch the Ubisoft and Square Enix presentations. And overall, I was a little underwhelmed with the VR presentation. That was, I think, the first year they've run it. And then the PC one run by PC Gamer was actually a lot better than previous years. So I didn't fall asleep through it like I did last year and the year before. I like completely fell asleep. Some highlights, because I'm going to make this fairly brief. Some highlights from the VR one were almost nothing, because let's be real here. VR is kind of a gimmick. It's nowhere near where it needs to be when it comes to quality. Everything looks very janky. Everything looks like N64 era, for the most part. And when they try to do better graphics, it gets very jittery and doesn't work. But there were a few standouts, like they presented probably, I guess, like 20 games or so, and I wasn't really that interested in most of them. Tried to keep an open mind. That being said, there was, I would say, maybe 2-3 titles that were probably actually worth checking out. It was actually pretty hard to find the actual show, because it wasn't, as far as I could tell, streaming on Mixer or Twitch or what I could find. I had to find it on YouTube and go there. Now, just going through my notes here, there was a really cool game from Resolution Games called Acorn. And in it, you are there's two components. There's a VR component where, when you're using VR, you are a tree. Basically, in a first-person perspective, throwing things and trying to do things to foil these squirrels from stealing your acorns. And what makes it unique is that the other half of the game is played on mobile phones and tablets in a standard sort of third-person action, I think like Donkey Kong 64 sort of style, where you're the squirrels trying to go after the VR, like the VR tree. Which is pretty cool, and it was very smart that they had graphics that suited the technology. Nothing seemed jarring. It was cartoony, but not low res. I didn't see any glitches or anything with it. The person playing the VR mode, it didn't look like they were very jittery. Like, a lot of times you'll see things like the head shaky or the hands are shaky. It actually seemed very smooth, so they did a really good job there. There was a Walking Dead game that just looked like utter shit. Let's be honest here. Like, I'm so done with most zombie games unless they're really, really exciting, and it looked like garbage. There was a game called Battle Wake that looked really neat, and basically it's what if you did the ship battles, like the naval battles from like Black Flag, like Assassin's Creed, or a little bit like the ones from the Kingdom Hearts 3 battles. And what if they were in fluid motion and you were feeling it, like you're feeling every wave hit you, and you're doing it from a first-person perspective in VR? So that is very interesting. I do get the feeling that you might get a little bit of seasickness doing that way, but it's not going to be too terribly bad. I think that they did a pretty good job of making it so that you don't feel so immersed that you'll actually like vomit or anything. But it would be kind of cool if they do, because I want to see it kind of happen. There was already also a game called Asgard's Wrath, Now, Asgard's Wrath is probably the best looking one. They had ones that maybe had like slightly higher quality graphics, but like the voices were out of sync or other bullshit or terrible scripts from some of them, where like it just bad English overall. Even though I think they were English speakers that wrote the games, but anyway, Asgard's Wrath was basically a Viking tale, sort of Asgardian Norse, where Loki is telling you to do things and you go and do them, and it's a first-person perspective. Think like a Skyrim-type game, but actually better graphics than Skyrim. And the voice syncing is pretty much perfect. Usually the mouth movements are really terrible in these because they're focusing so much on the immersive VR feel that they don't really focus on the actual animations. And they did a really good job. So that one looks pretty promising, and I think it's going to be something to keep an eye out for in the future. But that was pretty much it for the VR show. There was, maybe three games that were worth it, the entire thing. The rest are just, let's be real, like, it's fun and inventive to have all these different options out there. Like, they're very good at putting out, here's a ton of different things, but they're really shitty games. I mean, I'm sorry, like, the Rick and Morty one that came out a couple years ago, that was kind of funny because you're playing around in a sandbox world, but all they're really good at a lot of these games is just being sandboxes for, I'm going to pick up this thing. Oh, look what happens when I pick it up. There were a couple games that showed promise by making themselves look like Myst or like that Myst series. There should be more games like that. You should be, like, because Myst already was a first-person perspective exploration thing. There should be more super high-end visual graphic games like that, because those pre-rendered graphics from Myst back in like the mid-90s look better than half of these VR games. So it'll be interesting to see if they do something with that later on, but the big ones were Acorn, Battle Wake, and Asgard's Wrath. Those are the ones that you're going to want to look up on YouTube for. Now, and again, depending on them, some of them, it can be played on like the PlayStation VR, which is the cheapest way to get into VR. Some of them you need to buy like a $1,000 rig just on top of your PC just to play them. So no thank you. Too much for me. Now, after that, the PC gaming show, which is sponsored by PC Gamer, I guess it used to be a magazine. I don't know if it's a magazine anymore, but PC Gamer and Epic. So after I found out Epic was sponsoring it, I was like, oh, there's no more Stadia talking this. So they went on, and they had a bunch of different, like 60 games they showed off. Not all of them are good. By not all of them, I mean a lot of them are very creative, very well put together, but I don't think they're in my wheelhouse of what I would like, about 90% of them. And even, like, I'm assuming that everybody has their own tastes and our listeners and everybody will like different things, but I know for sure it's not like you're going to like everything that was there. So they opened up pretty strong. They had Paradox Interactive come out and show off Vampire the Masquerade, which looks pretty sweet. I know Birdman was super psyched about it. That's one that definitely going to keep an eye on. There was another really awesome title that they showed off called Moons of Madness. It looks very Cthulhu-like and creepy. I know Birdman liked it, and I know our other terrible warrior friend, Derek the Bard, was pretty hyped for it too, because we're pretty big into the Cthulhu mythos with everything at This Week in Geek and Terrible Warriors. Then they showed off a bunch of other indie titles that I think have already either been on Switch or already out, but have like little expansions. So nothing super major there. Then they showed off Age of Wonders Planetfall, which is sort of an RTS type game with pretty cool graphics. There's giant mechs. There's dinosaur T-Rexes that have machine guns on them. There's, from what I saw, I'm pretty sure I saw a bunch of giant penguins that looked like Pengu. So I'm going to be keeping an eye out for that. So that's Age of Wonders Planetfall. Check that out online. And there was also a couple games that they showed off that were pretty interesting. Was Zombie Army Dead War 4, which is about Nazi zombies run by Hitler. It had a pretty good trailer. I think it was more cinematic than it was actual gameplay, but it's something to keep an eye out for. Again, I'm not big on zombie games, but this one sort of piqued my interest. The other game that they showed off was Remnant from the Ashes, which gave off a very like Dante's Inferno for the PS3 vibe, but in modern day, like modern graphics, first person. Like, Dante's Inferno mixed with God of War mixed with a Skyrim type game. Looks pretty cool. Check that out. Remnant from the Ashes. That's pretty cool. And the last thing they showed off, they closed out the show after showing a bunch of indie titles. They showed off a couple things that I was like, what the fuck? So they showed off a stupid racer chair. Those chairs that those gamers use, they're like $500 or $600. They're complete garbage. They don't offer any proper back support. The seats are painful to sit on. They look cool on camera for streamers, but they are not comfortable for $500 or $600. For $300, even if you're not a big and tall person, you can buy yourself a big and tall chair that is like double padded, extra lumbar support, will last you like 50 years, and you can get it for half that price, and it's significantly more comfortable. So don't give me that shit about those stupid chairs. So that they had to show that off because they probably sponsored it. They also had the only piece of tech that I saw them come out with was, I believe it was LG or Asus or somebody came out and showed off Samsung? Well, somebody came out and showed off a monitor, and I was like, get the fuck out. I don't care. Like, they talk about how great the curve is on the screen. I'll tell you something from somebody who went and studied computer hardware in school, in college. Curved screens don't do jack shit except for marketing. A curved screen only works when it's like 100 feet wide for a movie theater because you're having to service so many people. When you're using a computer monitor, you are so close that no matter what angle you're sitting at, you're seeing it, especially if it's IPS or AMOLED or OLED screen. It doesn't matter what angle you're looking at, you can see it. So that curved screen is for looks. They're trying to say it's like a better viewing angle. It's absolute bullshit. You can actually look up the science. So that itself is bullshit. They talk about it being 240 hertz, and they're like, it's super G-Sync. And I was like, that's nice. So you're going to have like a $7,000 computer to even use it at its full potential, because most games aren't even optimized, first of all, for anything above 120 hertz, even 144 at the max. Truly, to get it's all a placebo effect above that if it's not coded for it. Secondly, the video cards don't really do that, especially like they're like, it'll be great. It can do 4K at 240 hertz. And it's like, you're in your fucking mind. That is overkill. That's like a few years ahead of what needs to be. I know if somebody always has to come up with a new technology to be the leader, you know, to show off the bleeding edge. But the way they try to hype it up, it's like nobody's really going to be able to use that. And if you are using it, it's a placebo effect. You're not really seeing anything better unless the game is specifically coded for it. Like right now, the sweet spot, if you're doing like basic gaming, like if you're not caring about like we're talking like competitively, you can get away with a good 60 hertz or like a 72 hertz monitor or the maximum 120. 120 would really help your eyes if you're doing a lot of sitting at the screen, because it refreshes so much faster that it doesn't hurt your eyes as much after long sessions. Or if you can really do it, 144, but 240 is overkill, like at least at this point, unless you're sitting there for like 20 hours straight. Then again, some people might be. So now that's out of the way, the last thing they showed off was Larian Studios came out to show off Baldur's Gate 3, which they already talked about and briefly showed a trailer at the Stadia event. This time they answered some questions of what they could answer, and they also had Wizards of the Coast out with them, telling that there's going to be a Baldur's Gate prequel book module game for the tabletop for D&D 5th edition. So that's going to be really cool. So they're putting that out to sort of get people into playing, you know, D&D on tabletop gaming, but also as a prequel to the actual game. It sort of brings you up to speed on what happened in the first two Baldur's Gate games as well in that book, which is going to be cool. I'm pretty sure we'll be able to get a review copy to check out. Birdman will check that out because he's the resident RPG tabletop guy. I'm the RPG JRPG guy. So we also got to see not much more of the trailer, but they did answer some questions. They couldn't answer too much more, but the release date is undetermined at this point. They're waiting to say something. So it's not going to launch as people were thinking with Stadia in November. It's probably coming closer into the new year. But they're going to do it right, because Larian doesn't do a game and doesn't release a game until it's exactly the way they want it to be. And it sounds like Wizards of the Coast have perfect faith in them to do that. So that's really cool. But that's basically it. There were some other indie titles that were neat, and you can probably look them up in summaries and other sites. We're not going to get into it because there's so many PC games that were talked about, over 60 games, and like I said, maybe five or six were really worth looking into, at least for what I see. I know Mr. Christopher and Birdman might have different ideas, and we'll talk about that when we do our roundup at the end of E3. But that's pretty much it for me. I'm tempted to almost look into VR just for a couple of those games, for Acorn, for the other titles, the one that was the water aquatic naval battles, and maybe not, but it's something to keep an eye on. As far as PC gaming goes, the Cthulhu type games look really neat. There's a couple others that like the Zombie Army of the Dead, or Zombie Army Dead War 4. God, this title is too long. And Remnant from the Ashes look neat. So, and of course, Baldur's Gate. That's going to be a no-brainer. So I guess I have to go back and buy the enhanced editions of 1 and 2 and just play through them and get super hyped. Because I won't be getting it on normal PC. I'll get it for Stadia so I can scale it, do whatever I need to. So that's going to be it. I have to get this uploaded, edited and uploaded before the Ubisoft starts in about 20 minutes or so. So I will be back after Ubisoft and Square. I'm going to miss the Raptors game for that. So Birdman is going to watch it and give me a heads up if we win, which will be fantastic. But Square better not disappoint, because I'm missing a big fucking game for that.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in a bit of a fuck.
Ha ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content, and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Genji 2 is an action game which is based on Japanese history. The stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab.
Octodad Deadliest Catch will stagger awkwardly onto PlayStation 4. Now, although historically accurate, this game does not contain giant enemy crabs.